Hello, my name is Stephen Schaub. I'm the leader of the Fitter Revolution, an instructor and co-owner of filmisfun.com, as well as a hybrid artist and master printer at Indian Hill Imageworks in Pollard, Vermont. Well, today is a very exciting day. Eastman Kodak this morning at 8 a.m. announced the release of a new film, Kodak Professional Portra 160. Now, this sort of follows the trend of what Kodak did just a few months back when they released Portra 400. When they released the Portra 400, they discontinued Portra 400 NC and VC and came out with Portra 400, which I have written extensive articles here on the Fitter Revolution. I love that film. It has become a bread and butter film for me, as well as there have been countless articles that I can find on the internet of people who absolutely love the new Portra 400. Well, Kodak is following a similar model here with the Kodak Professional Portra 160, in that they are discontinuing or retiring, you choose your language that you like, the Portra 160 NC and VC effective now. So basically, once the existing stock of NC and VC are gone, there will only be Portra 160 film available. So to save you all the suspense, very quickly here, do I like the new Portra 160? The answer is yes, absolutely. I really like this portrait film. So let me get into a little more analysis here of this new film. First off, this film will be available starting March, and much like the way Kodak released Portra 400, they're not holding back anything on this film. They're releasing this film in all film formats right off the bat. So 35mm, 120, 220, 4x5, and 8x10 sheet film are all going to be supported in the new Kodak Professional Portra 160 film. So this isn't going to be something like 1 year they're going to do 35 and 120, and then a year and a half later it's 4x5 and 8x10, kind of like what they did with Ektar. I think what they did with the 400 by making it all available right off the bat was a great move, and I'm glad to see that they're continuing that forward with this particular film. This film, like the Portra 400, takes advantage of Kodak's advanced cubic emulsion, and it also takes advantage of Kodak's vision film technology, much like the Portra 400 speed film. So what I thought I would do here in this post is talk about the differences between Kodak Portra 400, the new material, and Kodak Portra 160, the new material, and where I feel as a working photographer this film fits my needs. I mean, if I love Portra 400 and that's become my bread and butter, and I use Ektar 100 when I need super, super, super sharp film with, you know, really fine grain and really, you know, great saturation like a transparency, then where does the 160 really fit? So first off, let me say that the 160 is not as sharp as the Portra 400. The Portra 400 is an extremely sharp 400 speed film. The Portra 160 is much more like what you would think of as a portrait film. It's absolutely beautiful. The grain structure is very round and very pebbly and very beautiful and very, very, very fine grain. My suspicion is that Kodak had to come out with a new 160 because the new Portra 400 is so fine grain that my suspicion is it was starting to cut into the 160 market a little bit. And I know that 160 is one of their absolute best-selling color negative materials. As a result, I'm sure they had to up the ante on it a little bit and make it even finer grain, without taking it sort of to the look of Ektar. And that's something that's very interesting here. If you're a portrait photographer or somebody who likes film that has a little bit more roundness to it, a little bit more softness on the edge of the grain, this is going to absolutely be a go-to film. It's very beautiful. The color palette on this film is absolutely beautiful. The scannability of this film, just like the Portra 400, is very, very easy to scan. Both of these films, along with Ektar. Ektar, to me, in my mind, is the hardest of these three films to scan. Portra 400 and the Portra 160 are just so easy to scan. I use an Imicon in our studio, but it is an extremely easy film to scan and get a successful scan out of. One of the big differences, though, between this film, the new 160, and the Portra 400, though, is in the over- and underexposure latitude. Now, if you remember, when I talked about the Portra 400, you know, there's been a lot of praise on the internet as to just how unbelievably forgiving that particular film is. I personally did testing, rating it all the way down to an exposure index of, you know, 25, 50, 100, 200, 400, and going all the way out to 800, 1600, and 3200. And I found that between 25 and 3200 on the Portra 400 was extremely usable. And I've even seen people on the internet who've been doing, you know, push development and using that film out to 6400 and 12,000 with extremely usable results. So the Portra 400, in terms of under and overexposure, is sort of the king of the hill in my mind. The Portra 160 is really good, but it doesn't have that level of forgiveness. So through my testing, I've determined that the film is safe to shoot as low as 25, but in an ideal world, 50. You know, an exposure index of 50 is definitely doable. 50, 100, 125, 160, you're solid on all of those exposure indexes. Box speed is 100% fine. My personal feeling was that I like to rate the film right around 100 or 125. Gave me a little bit of forgiveness with regards to some really deep shadows, and I just happened to like the way the color and everything looked with that little bit extra exposure. On the underexposure end, the film is totally safe. Once again, at box speed, at 200, at 320, at 400. 400 to me is the outer reaches that you're going to get in standard development on underexposure. Everything after 400, in my mind, started getting too thin. Now, that's fine, though, because most people who are going to use this film are looking for something more like around 100 or 160, you know, speed film, and it absolutely fits that mark perfectly, without a doubt. So that's sort of my feeling on the under and overexposure capabilities of this material. So how does the film look? I mean, how does it look in real-world shooting situations? Well, look at the first picture that I posted along with this article. It's a picture of the interior of Indian Hill Image Works here in Pawley, Vermont. Now, I've posted this particular shot many times during the Fidget Revolution. Whenever I'm reviewing different films, I always like to do the shot because it's a really tough shot. I mean, this is a tremendous dynamic range within this image. And what you notice is that just like the Portra 400, it handles the contrast amazingly well. I mean, that outdoors is really bright, and it's bright sun, and there's beautiful detail outside. The inside has beautiful detail. Even in the darkest reaches of that upper wall, there's beautiful detail. The one thing that you do notice is that it doesn't have the crispness, the micro contrast that the Portra 400 has, or that, like, you know, T-Max 100 or T-Max 400 or Ektar 100 has. It's a little bit softer, and I'm talking very subtle here. It's more of a micro contrast than it really is a sharpness thing. But it looks still, to my eye, extremely beautiful. The color palette is really nice, and it handled what is an extremely difficult test, I think, quite well. The next test image that I have to share here, let me find it on my desktop so I'm actually looking at it, is a rather creepy portrait that I did of my wife. But I like it for this example. What's interesting about this portrait is how big it is. Okay, this portrait is a 922 megabyte file. Yes, that's right, a 922 megabyte 8-bit file. When it was 16-bit, it was 1.8 gigabytes. The print size, the actual print size, is 50 inches by 71.65 inches, basically 6 feet tall. It's basically a little over 4 feet wide by 6 feet tall. This was shot on a Contax 645, as were all the tests. All the tests that I'm showing are 120. It was shot on a Contax 645. The inside of my gallery, just so I'm be clear on that, that was shot with an 80 millimeter Zeiss on the Contax 645 at f/5.6. This portrait of my wife was shot on a 140 millimeter f/2.8 Zeiss lens at f/2.8 with a Heliopan close-up filter attached. So that's why the depth of field is so incredibly, incredibly short. I mean, literally just the eyebrows and a little bit of the glasses, and it falls off from there. Really tricky to focus because the depth of field is just so small. So once again, this is a 50 inch by 71.65-inch full size, and it looks amazing at that size. It is amazing how smooth and pebble-like and gorgeous the skin tones are. Now, if you look at the two crops that I provided, let me close this picture and open the next one. The crop of my wife's eye and the glasses, the frame of the glasses. That crop is a 16 by 20 inch print. That's huge. I mean, it's a 16 by 20 inch print, and look at the detail. You can count every single eyelash. And the grain looks absolutely beautiful. Look at how great the transitions are of the out of focus to focus points. I mean, it's beautiful. The tone is absolutely amazing. If you look at the other crop, which is a 5 by 7 inch crop of my wife's right eyebrow, look at that. You can count the individual hairs. And once again, this is from a 50 by 71.65 inch print, over 4 by 6 feet. That's really, really, really incredible from a 6.45 neg. Imagine what you're going to be able to pull out in 4x5, in 8x10, in 6x7, 6x9, and in 35 millimeter. This really is a beautiful, gorgeous portrait film. So I told you I would give you my thoughts as to where this film sort of fits my sort of needs as a working photographer. Well, the Portra 400 is my bread and butter film. If I'm going somewhere where I have no idea what the lighting situation is going to be like, and it could be horrendous, like horrendous contrast, and it could be dark, it could be light, who knows what I'm going to hit, Portra 400 is my go-to film for that. If I'm doing a shot where I need insane, insane detail, insane sharpness, I need absolutely transparency-like saturation, then I'm going to go for the Ektar 100. But if I'm doing a portrait, if I'm doing a landscape shot where I know sort of where I'm going and what I'm getting into, and the contrast is something that I can hit, you know, an exposure around, you know, box speed 160 or 100, then I'm going to grab the Portra 160. I think it's an absolutely beautiful film. Prints from this film, I always say on the Digital Revolution that show me the prints. What do the prints look like? I made a few prints this morning on Canson Platine on the Epson 9900, and they look exquisite. The tonality is beautiful. Everything about this film transfers out onto paper, and it just looks fantastic. So once again, Kodak Professional Portra 160 film. It's being released today, first day of WPPI. It's going to be available once again in 35, 120, 220, 4x5, 8x10, starting in March 2011. I, for one, think the Kodak deserves a very big round of applause for this. I was really happy that I was able to be part of the initial testing. And for those of you who want to know how much film did I shoot, I actually shot about 12 rolls of 120. And I tortured the hell out of this film, much like I torture all the films that I'm going to use before I actually decide that, okay, this is something that's going to go in my bag for me to make my artworks with. And I feel very confident with this film that, just like the Portra 400, it's an absolute winner of a film. Thank you very much for listening. Look at the post. And by the way, probably by noon today, if you go on the internet, there's going to be dozens and dozens and dozens of other reviews. You know, look at the sample images. I for one, am very happy. Thank you very much for listening. I can't wait to hear your thoughts. Have a great day.